of people. Well, almost everyone. Arlo's here, so I thought we. How did Arlo get back on here? No, we're really blessed that everyone's here. So excited to see our online family growing and our church, local church growing. And, you know, we're not a typical church where we try to build the church. We focus on building people. That if we can encourage you to keep spending time with God, listening to God, growing in God, then the church will build by hungry people who want more of God. In most cities, there's very few hungry people that want more of God than just, tell me what I got to do to make it to heaven. And that's okay. We still want them to get to heaven. But in every city, there's a group of hungry people that something in them says there has to be more to this God thing than going to church and making it to heaven. And so we'll be the place they can come to. When they're hungry, God will send them to us. We don't have to go find them. God will send them to us. There is definitely a strong need for ministry to the lost, to the broken. And those are ones where you open up your heart and your time when the Lord shows you to share the gospel with them and put them on a path of growing. You know, most of us started off in type of Christianity that was more structure-based and rule-based, and then hunger pulled us out of that. Well, it's not necessary that people go through that religion. They could skip all that time and save all those years, you know. And wouldn't that be great to just start? I had one, well, maybe not. I know I had one guy who, a number of guys who never experienced the religious part of Christianity and got right into the walk of the Spirit. And the devil came and started to test them towards religion. And I was trying to explain to them, like, hey, you know, what you're trying to get into, the walk of the Spirit message rescued me out of all of that junk. So you're trying to leave the walk of the Spirit message to go under that junk. Why don't you just skip all that? You're gonna waste 20 years of your life trying to find a quick answer, an answer that's quick. So let's talk about that, this walk of the Spirit path that you're on. We'll start over in Colossians chapter 4, or chapter 3, sorry. We'll start in verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Caesarean, slave, nor free, but Christ is all in all. Now this new man is talking about your inward man, your inward body. If I started in verse 9, it's very interesting, the way Paul writes it. I love how he writes this. Do not lie to one another, since you put off the old man with his deeds. And that amazed me when I was beginning to see the picture by the Holy Spirit of the inner man and outward man, that... And understand that my outward man has its own agenda, its own plans for me that are not of God. They're not even from me. They're from my outward man. And the way Paul writes this is put off the old man with his deeds. So he's talking as if someone is walking beside him, almost a different person. And he, that outward man has its own deeds. And so we're to put off the old man, the leftover outward man that you're wearing, and put on the new man. And the new man is the inner man born of God. It's not by race. It's not by what family you're from, whether you're a slave or you're free. Christ is all in all of us. You don't get a lesser Christ because you're not born into a certain race or a certain family, a certain country. When you're born again, you get all of Christ, the whole package. You can tell your spouse that, hey, I'm the whole package, and I got all of Christ in me. Now, there is a certain segment of spiritual people that it's quite a big argument, actually, is the teaching that I'm already complete in Christ, and so I just have to accept who I am, rethink who I am, yield over to who I am. And so there's no growth. It's more role playing. Today I'm in the spirit, tomorrow I'm in the flesh. I identify with my spiritual man. That's who I am. And that message is half brilliant, that I can identify with my spiritual man. But see, your outward man isn't saved. Your outward man isn't fixed. The outward man must be mortified, because eventually God's going to mortify it like fully by deleting it and giving you a new outward body. That's when the trumpet sounds. And so the path of the walk of the Spirit is more about focusing on the growth and development of the inner man. And so there's a lot of Christianity that simply says, let me tell you how to act. You need to stop this, you need to do this, and then you're good. And the go and do message, you're saved, now go and do. And so there is a full-on path. It's a type of religion where you conform into what a Christian is supposed to look like. Christians should do this, a Christian should do that. If you're not doing that, you need to do it. Be nice to your neighbor, share the gospel, give your offering. Be nice to your kids, don't yell at your wife. These are all good things, but you can do that in your natural man and never out of who you are. In other words, we had one man, a really nice couple here at the church in Tulsa, and Johnny and Rosie. Johnny's in heaven now, but Johnny was quite the sucker. Like he was a guy that he found a girl he really liked, and Rosie was a church girl, and so he went to her and said, I want to date you. She said, oh, no, I only date Christian guys and church boys. So he went to church and got saved and was a good church boy, carrying all the chairs and doing all those things for 2 years until he asked her to marry him, and she married him. And the day after the wedding, talking about the honeymoon being over, he told her, hey, I just want to tell you I'm not going back to church. And she said, what do you mean? Well, I only went to church so you'd marry me. And then he didn't serve God for 20 years. And Rosie had to stand and pray for that guy for 20 years. And finally, he got back to serving God. And when we knew him, he was a wonderful man who loved God. But people can act like a Christian, but never really do it from who they are. And so can you and I. We can perform and act a certain way and get spiritual and do all kinds of things. But really, the walk of the Spirit is about becoming that person, where it comes out of who you are and not just an act that you're performing. Let's read verse 12, Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So this tells us that when you're born again, you don't have all these things. You have to put them on. It tells us when you're born again, you don't get rid of the desire to lie. You don't get rid of the desire to do certain things. You have to put those desires off. And that we have to put on these attributes. The most important, love, but tender mercies, kindness. These are all part of who you can be where you're not acting. Acting means if I have to make a choice. Okay? If I have to choose to forgive you, but I don't want to. Okay? Like, I really want to just punch you in the mouth. But lucky for you, I'm identifying with my spirit man today, so I am forgiving you. But really, tomorrow, I may not forgive you. I may identify with my outward man and punch you in the mouth. So, you know, many Christians are like this. That we had one lady, she was probably the best helper you've ever met. We had these, we'd always put on like little conferences, and every year we put on a woman's meeting, a little mini camp meeting. And so many of us would volunteer to cook, to clean, to serve all these ladies. And there's one lady in particular who was really helpful. She was the best helper, great attitude, sweet, sweet lady. And she was just great. So one day we ran into trouble. So I asked if she would oversee the cooking of the food. And she was always happy and helping. But when I put her over the group, she became a little dictator. All of a sudden, she was running around, bossing people around, yelling at them. You know, like she had never had the authority before. And the authority brought out this creature that we'd never seen before. Like, where did this demon come from? You know, where's the sweet lady? And so we all have that potential to be living a certain way of godliness. But then we hit a wall, we hit something, or something hits us, and all this ugliness comes out. Well, that's the kind of the walk of the Spirit is a process. Say the word process. A process means it doesn't come automatically. So when you're born again, what does come automatically is you've got a complete new nature. It's like a seed. It's fully complete. And in that seed is an image, a picture of Jesus Christ in all of his maturity, in all of his love, in all of his holiness. It's all in the seed. But if you don't let the seed grow, it remains in the seed, but it doesn't come out of the seed. Well, everyone who's born again gets that seed of Christ. That's the new nature. And so that seed is complete. It will never, it doesn't grow. It doesn't get bigger. It doesn't mature. The seed always remains a seed. But when that seed is planted in you, it's planted in your inner man, and then the seed wants to grow. And so that's the image I want you to see in your Christianity. As I have been given the seed of Christ in his fullness, and now if I do the things that cause that seed to grow and come forward, I will be putting on these attributes. These attributes I just read in verse 12, 13, and 14, these are heavenly attributes. These are godlike attributes. And we would all agree that the love of a person is not close to the love that comes from God. The peace that we can get from the world is not close to the peace that comes from God. God's peace is much higher than man's peace. God's love is much higher than God's love. God's kindness is much kinder than man's kindness. And so what carnal Christianity does is teaches you to act kind, to act loving, to act forgiving. But the walk of the Spirit is you, no matter where you start, can develop these attributes. The very love of Christ can be formed in you. And that means when that happens, you mortify the love of your natural man, and you start to walk in the love of Christ. And so you'll hear people confess, I love the love of Christ. I have the peace of God. But it doesn't come through confession. And I'm going to show that to you, that these attributes are fruit. Fruit only comes on a mature tree. It doesn't come on an immature tree. Fruit comes from a mature tree, and it comes automatically. You don't have to talk to the tree, say, fruit, come forth. You know, the Christian trees, they produce fruit, but the non-Christian trees, they don't produce fruit. No, every fruit tree will produce fruit, whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian. You know, if you go down to the orange grove, you'll find one guy who's a Christian owns orange trees, and the neighbor who's a non-Christian, still his tree still produces oranges. So a tree will produce fruit because it's a tree. So when you got born again, the first thing God did was he went into your inner man and switched the new nature, quickened it instantly from an old nature of sin, an old nature of darkness, to a nature of light. And that new nature brought to life your inner man. Your inner man is now like a baby and has the ability to be just like Jesus, to think like Jesus, to love like Jesus, to walk in the peace that Jesus walked in. You have that ability. No matter what your upbringing is, no matter what your dysfunction is, your secret sins are, you have the ability to grow into who God wants you to be. But it's not automatic. And so the first step to the walk of the Spirit is coming to the realization that I'm, or to the place where you say, I'm not accepting religion anymore. I'm not accepting a religious walk where I act holy, I do some good works for God, but I stay in charge of my life. And most of us have come to that place. That's the only reason you're here. And you say, there's got to be more than just going to church and doing a good work. And it can seem puzzling because carnal Christianity allows everyone to feel purposeful, to feel safe with God, because you gave God something. You offered him something. God, here's my finances. I did this good work. I wanted to go and get drunk, but I didn't. Praise God. So God is happy with me today. And you have something to give to God because I witnessed the 10 people. Now God will, I have something to give to God so he'll be pleased with me. But those of us have children understand that children are half crazy half the time. Every time you figure a kid out, they change and they develop, and you're always learning the new kid every year. They change into a little bit different, and hopefully you're surprised in good ways when they grow up. And sometimes we're surprised in not good ways, but they're always our kids. Well, you also, everyone who accepts Jesus is a child of God and has a potential to walk like Jesus walked. But it's not necessary. Many Christians will stay immature in their spirit man and still make it to heaven because they have that new nature. The new nature is a powerful little spot in you that produces righteousness. Is what makes you righteous. Today, if you're born again, you are righteous because you humbled yourself and you received that new nature. You'll never be more righteous. A billion years from now, after a billion years of spending time at Jesus' feet, you won't be more righteous a billion years from now than you are right now. And some of you just said, oh, he doesn't know me. He doesn't know what I fight with. He doesn't know my struggles. No, you're not righteous because you're holy. Holiness is you saying and living out of that righteousness. You're righteous because you're born again. Being a child of God makes you righteous. Now you get to choose how much of a child of God do you want to live in and grow in. And so everything about this walk that we're in, and it's a change. I want to change some of your picture of your Christianity. Carnal Christianity allows you to act like a Christian without really developing Christ-like characteristics. So I'm choosing to act in love. I'm choosing to walk in love. But really, you're having to choose. But when that love of Christ is so grown in you, you don't get to choose it. It's who you are. You can't be any different than what that is. It's who you are. And so, but that doesn't come instantly. It must be put on. And a better word for that is fruit. We'll read over in Galatians chapter 5. And I'll skip down to verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, say the word fruit for me. Now, in that word Spirit, I have a little underline under the S because that's not the Holy Spirit. That's the fruit of your new nature, your inner man. The fruit of the new nature can't grow in the outward man because the outward man's made of earthly material, where the inner man is born of godly material. So the godly soil of the inner man is where the new nature is planted. Now it can grow. If I took an apple seed and said, hey, look at this apple seed. I had the most delicious apple when I was in Washington State, a Fuji apple. It's the most delicious apple. I found it and I kept the seed. I'm going to plant it in my backyard and I'm going to grow a Fuji apple tree in my backyard. And I tell everyone, all my friends, hey, it's going to give us some of the best apples ever. And I'm going to make apple pie, apple strudel. I'll have Christy make it. And I'm going to have apple juice, fresh apple juice. And we'll all come to my house and we'll have an apple party. And I'm going to give you baskets of apples. And then you come back to visit me a year later, and there's that seed in a glass cup on my kitchen counter. And I keep talking to you about how this beautiful seed is going to bring us the best fruit in the world. And after you visit me a few times, and the seed's always on the counter, one of my friends is going to say, hey, Alan, I have to have a talk to you. Don't you realize that if you don't plant that seed in the ground, it's never going to grow. It'll never grow. It must be planted, and what's in it has to grow and come forward. Well, that seed, if I were to cut open that apple seed, I would be able to see an image of a mature apple Fuji tree. And I could see it. It's in the seed. But if the seed, when you plant an apple seed in the soil, it takes the nutrients of the ground and it begins to develop and form that apple tree. It actually builds the tree that's always been inside of it. You don't plant the Fuji apple tree and get a pear tree. You get a Fuji apple tree because that's the image that's in the seed. Well, in your new nature, right now is an image of Jesus Christ in fullness of maturity in his love, his holiness. That's already in the seed. And many Christians are claiming and walking around talking about who I am, confessing and speaking. but they have that seed in a little glass jar. They never really let it develop because they don't give it the nutrients it needs to grow. So it remains like a seed, and they never see the fruit of the love of Christ come forward in them. And so everything we live by and stay by, meaning we don't go above the fruit that we're producing. And otherwise, you step into a form of religion, a form of carnal Christianity, when you just decide, I'm tired of waiting for the fruit. I'm just gonna buy apple juice at the store, pour it into a glass, and tell all my friends I made apple juice. And you're giving them an artificial, a little bit of apple, but it's really full of corn syrup, corn sugar. And it's not all there. You know, you can buy your kids those little juicy things, and you look at there's like no juice in it, no real orange juice. It's all fake, but it tastes delicious. You know, it's all manufactured. You know, it's even fake vitamin C they add to it. It's not even real vitamin C. And so it will never compare to the real thing. And so when I see someone get frustrated, saying, I'm tired of waiting on all this, of all these promises of God. I'm just going to go do it, you know. And they find a preacher who will tell them, yeah, just receive the love of God. There you are. You're full in the love of God. Just act in it. Just accept it. Well, the picture in the New Testament is you got to grow that tree so it can produce fruit. And I see many, many spiritual hungry believers get tired of waiting on the fruit, and they try to take a shortcut. There's no shortcuts in this gospel. There are no shortcuts in this gospel. Be warned prophetically that there are no shortcuts in this gospel. And so, how do I get that seed to grow? Well, it's everything we preach from the prayer center: pray in tongues, worship God, read your word, do it again tomorrow. What do I do tomorrow? Pray in tongues, worship God, meditate the word, do it again tomorrow. Oh, that's taken too long, Pastor. I see all these other guys running into their ministry, and it's one of the big dangers. I'll give you another warning. You can be an amateur minister your whole life, or you can learn to grow and become an excellent minister in what God's called you to do for the rest of your life. You get to choose. The amateur ministers run out, and they find out who will listen to them, who will let them pray for them, and they feel good because they did something. But the fruit, that path doesn't allow the fruit to grow. Let's read here verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, so that's the fruit that comes from that new nature, is love. There's that word love. So we have to put it on. And how do we put it on? It's like fruit. Fruit only grows on a mature tree. But once it comes back next year, and it keeps coming back for the rest of your life. You don't lose it. God will prune some branches so that fruit gets bigger, but you don't lose it. You don't have fruit this year and the next year. It's like, had a bad year, no fruit this year. No, that fruit keeps coming. So we want to get mature so the fruit will come in our life. And what kind of fruit are we talking about? Love. This isn't you loving your neighbor with your love. This is the very love of God, the same love that Jesus walked in. Joy, this isn't just making yourself happy. This is a joy that cannot disappear. Even in bad days and sad days and hard days, wow, why are you so joyful when you're going through a hard time? I don't know. It's just coming out of me. It's fruit. Peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there's no law. There's no law, meaning no one has to tell you how to do it, because it's who you are. It's who you're becoming. It's coming out of you. I don't need some preacher to tell me, you need to live holy. You need to do this. You need to do that. Because it's coming out of me. It's who I am. That's when that fruit of the inner man begins to take over your life. It's a path where you have to be patient. It means you're not in control. You cannot just get the answer you want now. And that's one of my concerns about some of the teaching about believing. Just believe for this, believe for that. And we have people setting their focus on fancy things. You know, no one's believing for hard times. No one's believing for battles, but we're all believing for a new house, a new car. And I can't tell you my early years how many times I got tricked into, if you like to have a bigger income, just giving this offering as a form of believing. You know, oh yeah. So what you're saying, if I write this check, then I will get 100-fold back. Wow, what a great motive to write a check. And some of the services I've been in are hilarious. You know, one preacher, he's like, now, and he's an old-fashioned preacher. Now, everyone, open up your checkbooks. And I want you to write the biggest check you can to believe God today for your miracle. And they called it a seed of faith. Take your need and wrap money around it, and now it's a seed of faith. And so you're going to plant that seed of faith and believe God for your miracle. And the preacher said, now, take that checkbook, that check that you just wrote, look at it, rip that check up, and I want you to write another check twice as much. And the whole church did it. They all obeyed. I thought, wow, that's great, a great trick. You know, and so none of their giving came out of their heart. It came out of a rule, a law on the outside. Well, if you notice, we don't try to badger you about giving, because we want it to come out of your heart. We want it to be the fruit of your heart, the fruit of the Lord moving forward. So you can look at your life and say, how fruitful am I? And you know, we don't want you giving anything because you have to. We want it to come out of your heart because of who you're becoming. We don't want you giving a fake love. We want the real love to come forward. And we'll put up with your mess until that fruit comes forward, because we want the real fruit to come forward. Then you won't be a mess anymore. You'll be helpful. That's probably why it says you have to forgive one another. Because while we're developing the fruit of Christ's love, we're living in our natural man's best attempt to walk in love. This is a fruitful path, not only in these attributes of love, joy, peace, loving, long-suffering, kindness, but also in knowledge that Pastor Dave always taught us. Don't try to preach. Don't read your Bible and try to get a message. Just read your Bible. Read your Bible, pray in tongues, and revelation will begin to come forward, and that's the only revelation you want to preach from. The truth that comes out of your spiritual man that's been taught by God, but when you pray in tongues, when that begins to come forward out of your inner man, out of your spirit, that's what you want to preach from. That's where your ministry comes from, not from you going and making it happen. Once you go and make your ministry happen, you got to make it happen next year too. Every year you're stuck making your ministry happen, making your money come. I used to say I was a farmer. One day I was traveling somewhere and I was sitting there on the airplane, and I looked down and I had a vision of my midsection, my belly area, and it turned into a tree trunk. And the Lord said, this is how I want you to see yourself from now on, a tree planted by the living waters. Up to that moment, I used to look up to heaven to receive things from God. like download. But when I realize I'm a tree planted and my roots are in the living water of Christ in me, that means that I don't receive from heaven down. I receive from my roots in him up, that I actually grow and form and develop as I'm in him, not down from heaven, not by the glory, not by the anointing, not by the laying on of hands, but from my roots up. I have a friend that John and Carmen know as well, and Christy from our past. He's a really tremendous preacher, very, very popular now and successful. But I can only listen to him for a couple minutes and I get turned off because it's a lot of platitudes, a lot of one-liners that make people excited about what God's going to do for them and how to, you know, I see now that God's going to promote you and all these people. God's hand is coming. God's prosperity is coming. You know, and everyone gets excited, but it's like a drug. They have to go back to him every week to get excited because in them, nothing's growing. And so the best thing you can learn is that you may be a mess today, and you can be honest and tell your friends and your loved ones, I'm a mess. I know it, but wait till next year, I'll be different. And wait till next year, I'll be different. And there'll be a year where you'll cross the line where you'll have the respect of many people because you're walking in something that's of God. I remember asking Tim one time, I said, why? Tim, everyone loves Pastor Dave. They just, I mean, ridiculously, they love Pastor Dave. And, he's a loving man, I know, and a good man. But it's a little ridiculous. Like, I because I spent time with him, he would pick on me. I'd pick on him privately. But if I ever did that in a service, he could pick on me in a service. But if I'm the preacher and I make a joke about Pastor Dave, I mean, the whole church would just turn sour against me. Like, don't touch Pastor Dave, you know. And I've seen a lot of preachers try to emulate Pastor Dave, his mannerisms, the way he operated, thinking, well, if I'll just do what he does, everyone's going to love me too. And the people would never love them the same way. And I asked him, and he really, it really helped. He said, Alan, they're not in love. People aren't in love with Pastor Dave. What they're experiencing through Pastor Dave is that love, that fruit of love that's in him, the love of God. So they get a taste of the love of God through the man, Pastor Dave. And that's what they're in love with. And see, when you grow this love, this peace, this joy, it's going to start influencing others around you because they get a taste of something that's from God, not from you or from me. So it does mean that you have to be patient. It means you start living a lifestyle of sowing into your spiritual man. The ingredients, the nutrients that cause that seed to grow. So every time you're praying in tongues, every time you're worshiping and in the Word, what's happening is the nutrients of those things are feeding the seed of Christ in you, and it's beginning to form that image of Jesus Christ in your inner man. And as it grows, there'll be a day where you can't run away from peace. No matter how much trouble you're going through, no matter what the enemy is throwing against you, you can't get away from that peace, and other people will be puzzled. What is wrong with you? You should be falling apart. Last year, you went out and got drunk when this happened to you. What's going on with you? Well, the peace of God has taken over you is what's happening. And so this path requires two main things from each of us. Number one, patience. That we're willing to trust God and wait on these things to develop. Waiting on God doesn't mean you just sit at home and play, watch Netflix and play video games and say, I'm waiting on God to bring forward my ministry. I'm waiting on God to bring forward my blessing. You know, I'd probably beat up my son if he ever tried that with me and said, Dad, I decide I'm never going to work a job. I'm never going to make an income. I'm not going to college. I'm just going to sit in my room and play Xbox every day for my rest of my life until God brings forward these things. I see his Xbox cable would be cut off the next morning. Like, I don't know what happened. Dog must have chewed through it. and there is a development process. You have to, waiting on God doesn't mean I'm not responsible. I'm not responsible. This is how God made me. If he wants to change me, then he'll change me. No, it says, I believe I can be everything the word says I can be, and I'm not going to accept a lesser path. Waiting on God means I'm doing the things to cause this fruit to come forward, and I'm waiting for the fruit to come forward, and in that fruit is where I'll find my ministry, my prosperity, my victory, my love, my joy, my family saved. Everything is from this fruit coming forward. A lot of people are believing for things. They focus their believing on nice things. And so they're in charge of what they believe for, rather than letting God tell them what to believe for. The second thing that's required is, after patience and get it on the right path, is to pour in or sow into that spiritual man. And this is really what Paul was dealing with in Galatians, was these preachers came in and they said, by giving money, by giving your effort, and give it into even Jewish laws, that then they would qualify for heaven, and that's where their future was in doing those things. And Paul is reteaching them and really removing that religion out of his church. And that's why we can read in verse chapter 6 of Galatians, verse 7, 8, and 9. Do not be deceived, okay? God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that's what he will reap. So this sowing is not about sowing money, okay? This sowing is whatever you sow your time into, you will reap the fruit of that. If you spend your life sowing it into doing good works, into trying to act like a standard, act like a Christian, that's sowing into your outward man, your carnal man. Paul calls it the flesh. The flesh is the soul of the outward man. If you're going to spend your life developing that outward man, even into Christianity, don't blame God for your struggles. Don't blame God when you never get to where you want to be. Do not be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. For he who sows to his flesh, I would word that as your outward man, will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit, that's your inner man, will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let's not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So if you want to see the fruit of Christ in your life, then it's going to come with sowing into the Spirit continually, every day, spending time praying in tongues. I don't care what level you're at, if it's half an hour a day, if it's 4 hours a day, at least you're sowing into your spiritual man. And if you'll sow into the Spirit, you're going to reap what you're after, including the holiness, the life of holiness that you're after. So here are those two things, sowing and patience. Don't grow weary. When is it going to happen? That's like me going out to my tree every year. You know, I planted my tree and I see it grow, and I go out the next week and like, where's the fruit, you stupid tree? Come on, stupid tree. I said fruit, come forth, fruit. And it's going to require patience. You cannot make it happen. It has to develop, and when it comes, it comes. But the promise is, if your life is a prayer and worship and in the Word, you're going to see the fruit come forward. I'll save that for another day. I'm going to close my Bible here. That's my preacher trick. You can't see it, but I'm closing my Bible. Many of us are going through battles and struggles. The battles and struggles are never bad. They're a challenge to say, I can overcome this. And life is hard. I think that's one of the best things I've learned is I used to think faith meant absence of battles. And because I was taught that if you have a problem, it's only because you don't believe. If you're going through a battle, it's because you don't have faith. And that meant if you're going through a battle, then everyone would look at you and say, oh, you don't have faith. But everyone knew they were in the same condition. They were just glad they were lucky enough not to go through the battle you're going through. But that was kind of the, so what we did was we would hide our battles. We'd show up around our friends and our church and act like everything's great because we didn't want them to see our real battles because then they would think and say we didn't have faith. There's one church that was a prosperity church. And you only had faith if you had a lot of money. So everyone drove to church in nice cars, in very expensive clothes. It was a huge church, 10,000 members. But if you went home with them, you found they lived in little houses. They were in debt up to their eyeballs. But at church, they drove in new cars because they had to prove they had faith. Well, faith is not the absence of battles. Faith is what you rely on to walk through your battles. And so whatever your battle may be, I don't want you discouraged in it. Everyone goes through battles in life, through our physical bodies, through our finances, through our businesses. Life is hard. And so I don't want you discouraged thinking, oh, I'm a failure because I'm going through this battle. I want you to take hope and strength that, hey, I have a path where I know how to get the victory if I don't lose heart, if I don't quit, if I continue on this path of praying and worship. See, no one can do it for you, and everyone's going to go through a test and a trial where you won't want to pray. It'll be like the most difficult thing in the world to make yourself pray. And that's a battle. That's where you have to have a fight, a showdown with that outward man and drag and hit him in the head and drag him into the prayer closet. You're coming to the prayer closet. Shut up. I don't care how you make me feel. I'm going to make myself pray because that's the only way I can grow that inner man. So the fruit of the Spirit begins to come forward inside of my inner man. And that's where you're going to find all your victories, your calling. Everything is going to come forward. So in our battles, I want you encouraged that at least you haven't accepted a lesser path so you feel better about yourself. And I don't want you feeling like you are a failure, that you're missing something. I want you encouraged that whatever is there that you're fighting through and walking through, you're already victorious if you don't quit on the path of growing and maturing. So we become fruit. We serve the fruit of God that comes forward in us when it comes forward. That's the path we're on. It's not a fast path. It's not just bless me and I'm good. I fight this in Brazil all the time because they want to make their preachers like priests, where the preacher just bless me and lay your hands on me and pray over me a special prayer and then tell God that I'm okay, And I've had to re-educate them that that's not what a pastor's for. And it really does no good just to some man saying, be blessed in Jesus' name, kiss the holy ring, be blessed. It does no good for your spiritual walk. Be blessed by a man or a woman. I want to take a few moments, and I know that we've got a lot of struggles and battles going on in the church here, I'm proud of you for fighting and standing and not being discouraged. And I want to take a few minutes and just worship God, and then we'll pray at the end for our congregation here, for all the families here, for the full victory that God has given to us. The things we know from the Word is sickness is not from God, poverty is not from God, sin is not from God. So we know instantly that you have a right to believe for those things. I have a right to believe for healing. I have a right to stand for prosperity. I have a right to stand for full freedom from sin because I'm a child of God. And so we don't have to pray, God, is it your will that I get healed? Is it your will that I have abundance? Is it your will that I'm holy? We already know that's his will. So that means that now I know that's his will. How do I get his will to be active in my life? And that's really the heart of the message I want to go to say today. There's really no shortcuts. You can find a shortcut in the natural that'll give you relief for today. But just like that little lady that married that boy, she was wanting to get married. And so she got married, but then it turned out to cost her 20 years of suffering to get him back in the church after he quit church. And they had a great end to their life as far as they both served God together. But really, we could have saved her 20 years of suffering and said, hey, instead of marrying him, let's make sure he's really serving God from his heart before you marry him. And so they say love is blind, but marriage is an eye opener, right? and so I can save you 20 years of your Christianity by convincing you that this is the right path. You can go down different paths and find a quicker answer. You can step into the path of I have it all now. I'm going to go out and make my ministry. I'm going to go out and pray for the sick. And you'll end up coming to a dead end, and maybe 20 years from now, you'll say, I'm tired of just living at this level. I want to go higher. And then you'll come back to this message of investing into your inner man, sowing into your spirit, and seeing the fruit come forward. So let's set our heart, let's set our goal high. I want to be that child of God in maturity. I want to walk in the fullness of what God has for me, and I'm going to choose this path of praying and spending time with God, and in that I will see the victory that God's already promised me.